Hello, this is Steve Antoine, and this is episode number 2 of the Military Simulation and History Podcast. This podcast is mainly concerned with a discussion of strategy and tactics and available simulation war games for the period of history that we're discussing in the podcast. And when possible, we're going to have some reviews of war games. And that'll depend a little bit on the availability of trial versions for different war games and simulation war games. This podcast really isn't intended to be a glorification of combat. Unfortunately, warfare has been a part of mankind from the beginning, and survival is often kind of dependent on knowing how to engage in it better than the enemy. There's really far too many examples of how bad military leadership has led to great losses of life. And as I was writing the notes for this second episode of the podcast, I received an email that one of my coworkers at work, who's serving in Iraq, was involved in a roadside bombing, and an improvised explosive device exploded on the driver's side of the Humvee he was riding in, and the driver was actually killed, and he was slightly injured, but looks like he's going to recover. I don't really know this coworker very well. I work at a fairly large company, but you know, receiving that kind of news, seeing how something like that hits close to home, it really puts a lot of emotions. It brings out a lot of emotions. I pray for the safe return of all those who are serving overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I also have a great sense of respect and pride for all their efforts. Definitely a bad day in my profession is no comparison with what they face every day that they're there. The first conflicts that I want to cover here are related to the Civil War, the American Civil War. I want to try to give a little bit of background, just a real brief background. This was the bloodiest war in American history. Currently, there were more casualties in the Civil War than all the other wars the U.S. has fought in. I thought that one lone statistic was a pretty shocking one the first time that I had heard it several years ago. Something like more than 620,000 Americans died during the Civil War, which ran from 1861 to 1865. In World War II, the deaths there were somewhere around 295,000 military deaths. In World War I, the deaths were in the area of 117,000. So you can see the great difference between the casualties of the Civil War and the casualties of the two great world wars of the last century. And also in the Vietnam War, the deaths there were in the neighborhood of 58,000. The Korean War, the number was something like 36,000. If you go back to back into the Revolutionary War, I believe the numbers there were somewhere around 10,000, I believe. It's actually listed that the first large battle, I should say, second largest battle of the entire Civil War, one of the first large battles of the Civil War was the Battle of Shiloh in Tennessee in 1862. I believe it was April 6th and 7th of 1862. There were something like more than 23,000 casualties that were suffered by both sides combined. And that number, at that time, in April 1862, the number of casualties at Shiloh were greater. It exceeded the number of all the losses of all the wars America had fought in up until April of 1862. So that means the casualties there at Shiloh were actually greater than the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812, Mexican War, all the wars previous. So it's quite a staggering number when you look at it. The Civil War, one of the reasons was probably the introduction of new and deadlier weapons. The tactics that were used at the beginning of the war were based on weapons and tactics used for many years previous. The use of the old smoothbore muskets resulted in short-range accuracy and very close firing lines that didn't cause that much damage to either side. You could have two opposing firing lines of maybe 100 or so yards apart, and they didn't cause that much damage to each other because of that smoothbore musket's short range. Cavalry was also much deadlier before the Civil War. You can go back to the times of Napoleon, you know, their great cavalry charges and sabers, and mounted cavalry could overrun a line of infantry because that infantry couldn't really shoot down the cavalry quick enough. The short range of that smoothbore musket allowed the cavalry to come in pretty close before the infantry could shoot down enough of the cavalry. By the time the cavalry got in range, it was really too late. The infantry charges before the Civil War were also quite a bit more deadly, and many battles were determined by bayonets at close range. If an infantry charge got started and you had enough in that charge, you could overwhelm a defending line. When you got to the Civil War, you had an introduction of a rifled musket. It was still a muzzle loader, which slowed down the rate of fire, but the increased range of that rifled musket allowed lines of infantry to really negate the cavalry charge. They could shoot at much greater ranges, and the cavalry charge soon became a thing of the past. The dug-in positions, if you had a defender that was dug in, it caused a lot of casualties because a lot of charges continued. The infantry charge was something that was ingrained in a lot of generals' minds, and they continued to order infantry charges on prepared positions. A dug-in defender could cause great numbers of casualties on an attacker, and it soon became apparent that the defender had a much greater advantage over the attacker in any battle. The generals at the time of the Civil War, it took them quite a while to learn the lessons. They were continuing to use tactics from the days of the smoothbore musket, and they continued to order charges directly into dug-in enemy positions. This was one of the great reasons for the large number of casualties during the Civil War. For example, if you've ever seen the movie Gods and Generals, you can see a really terrible example of this during the repeated frontal assaults the Union attempted on Mary's Heights at Fredericksburg. They continued to order piecemeal charges up the slopes, and every one was met with deadly fire from the top of the hill from the Confederates. And as I recall, there were 12 to 13 charges that were made up that hill, and every one resulted in a lot of destruction to the Union attackers. It took quite a while for generals, especially on the Union side, to learn those lessons. Some of the new weapons that were introduced at this time, one of those was the mini ball, which was actually a half inch lead rifle bullet that was first introduced by a captain. It was Claude F. Mini, who was a French captain in the 1840s, and a cheaper version of this was introduced in the U.S. by a worker at the Harper's Ferry Armory before the Civil War in the 1850s. The mini ball had the ability to expand as it left the barrel of the rifle, which caused the ball to catch the rifling inside the gun. And this rifling would cause the bullet to spin, which increased the accuracy and the distance of the shot. We actually got to the point in the Civil War where a firing line could cause deadly fire up to half a mile, which was quite a big change from the old days of having firing lines at 100 yards apart and missing more often than they hit. During the Civil War, there was a great improvement in artillery. It wasn't always noticed in the battles, but the newer rifled cannons could hit a battery of smoothbore cannons at quite a range, and they weren't able to be hit in return from the smoothbore batteries because of the shorter range of the smoothbore guns. Now, in a lot of cases, the smoothbore cannons were fine because there really weren't if when you get into a wooded situation, the smoothbores had a range of maybe a mile or so, which was plenty good for that type of combat. They really didn't need the longer ranges of the rifles. Also, with the smoothbore guns, a lot of times they were used against infantry. You may have heard mention of a type of shot called canister shot. It was often used in the smoothbores to fire on infantry. The canister shot was basically a tin can full of small iron balls. The tin can would disintegrate as the shot came out of the gun, and the balls would spread out and cause widespread damage to any opposing infantry within about 250 yards or so. There's also grape shot, which was a little greater number of balls that were often wrapped in cloth and tied together with string. And since this shot looked like a bunch of grapes, it got the name grape shot. Very deadly use of artillery during the Civil War. And one of the other things I want to cover in the podcast are some of the war games out there that are relating to the Civil War era, as we're discussing some of the battles of the Civil War. I've noticed that there seems to be a relatively smaller number of games related to the Civil War. I've played a number of games about World War II, which seems to be a pretty popular part of history that has been covered by war games, but doesn't seem to be quite as many covering the Civil War. I haven't had a lot of chance to look at many games about the Civil War. I do want to do that more in the future. I've recently downloaded one. It was a free download. It's called American Civil War Gettysburg. It's a fairly large download. It works under Windows XP. It's about 232 megabyte download. You should be able to find that one from several game sources online. It's published by Global Star and was first released in about April of 2005. The trial version only allows you to play for about 60 minutes, and then you're required to register the game for $19.99 before you can play again. The 3D graphics look pretty good, and it's something I haven't seen for many games of that period. There are some games out there that are fairly old, maybe created 10 years or so ago, and I haven't seen that many updates. But that's an area that I want to look into more. Hopefully future podcasts I can cover some more games that are out there on the Civil War. Hopefully I'm going to get a copy of this American Civil War Gettysburg registered and be able to discuss a little bit more about it and look at some of the tactics used at the Battle of Gettysburg through the game. I'm going to be looking for some games to review in the near future. Right now I'm starting out with a focus on the Civil War, but I hope to expand into coverage of other conflicts, not only in American history, but also world history. World War II, World War I, really any number of conflicts. Speaking of World War II, one of my all-time favorite tactical World War II games is the Steel Panthers World at War. The latest version is the General's Edition, which includes many of the separate campaign games of the Eastern Front, Africa, and so on. That game's available from Matrix Games. You can check out their website. It's www.matrixgames.com. And been playing that one since about version 1, and really enjoyed the many different campaigns and enjoyed the play of that game over the last five years or so. I've also recently formed a tournament for Steel Panthers World at War. Anyone is welcome to join. The website blog for this is at www.sptournament.blogspot.com. It's kind of a long name, but again, that's www.sptournament.blogspot.com. You can also email me at steveblog@fuse.net. It's steveblog, B-L-O-G, at fuse, F-U-S-E.net. You can email me for information on how to join this tournament. The tournament's completely free. The results can be posted on my website. The games will mostly be play by email, but anyone out there who can get a head-to-head game going, you're welcome to submit your results from that also and join the tournament. basically the style of the tournament. We're going to have some brackets set up in the tournament, and opponents will be selected, and then it's basically a single elimination type tournament. And no real time frame. We're hoping to get this done by the end of 2006, depending on the number of players that we have involved in this. I originally had planned to cut off the registration for the tournament at the end of January, but I'll likely need to extend it a little bit longer into February to get enough entrants to form an interesting tournament. I wish I had time to play in this one myself, but I'm going to be probably busy enough running the tournament and doing some other things. So please check it out. If you need to download the latest version of Steel Panthers World at War, go to www.matrixgames.com for more info. The homepage for this podcast is at www.seaworthy, that's SEAWORTHY, dot freeservers, that's FreeServers.com // custom4, that's CUSTOM, the number 4, dot html. You may also link to this podcast at www.protopage, that's PROTOPAGE.com/podcasts. Donations are appreciated through PayPal, but aren't required. The first podcast I had here was recorded using a digital voice recorder. The results of that weren't really of the best quality. This podcast is being recorded using the built-in microphone in my laptop, using the free Audacity software. The quality hopefully is a little bit better, but soon I would like to get a little better quality USB mic. And then as soon as possible, I'd like to get a little bit better website up and running. But for right now, please go to www.seaworthy.freeservers.com/custom4.html or www.protopage.com/podcasts. And you'll be able to link to this podcast through those pages. And again, hope to cover some more of the battles of the Civil War here shortly and cover some of the war games related to the Civil War. And again, this is Steve Antoine for the Military Simulation and History Podcast. So long.